Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, one perek each day.
Today we'll be learning Hilchot Kiddush HaChodesh Perek Hey. The first four prakim of Hilchot Kiddush HaChodesh discussed the manner in which Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibur Shana are done when there exists a Beit Din authorized to carry these out, and we'll see in Halacha Aleph of this perek what kind of Beit Din that is. This perek addresses what happens when there is no such Beit Din. It introduces the concept of cheshbon, determining the calendar based on calculation, and we'll see a fundamental debate between the Rambam and the Ramban about the relationship between the two ways of determining the calendar. Relying on cheshbon rather than testimony of Edim erases the distinction we saw in Paragimel between places near the Beit Din and places far away, but the custom nonetheless continued to keep 2 days of Yom Tov in certain locations, and the bulk of this perek is devoted to the details of where this custom is kept, both on the Shalosh Regalim and on Rosh Hashanah. Halacha Aleph. Kol she'amarnu mikviyat Rosh HaChodesh al ha'riya v'ibur ha'shana mipnei hazman o mipnei ha'tzorech ein osin oto ela Sanhedrin she'be'eretz Yisrael o beidin ha'smochim be'eretz Yisrael she'natnu lehen ha'Sanhedrin reshut she'kach ne'mar le'Moshe ve'Aaron ha'chodesh hazeh lechem Rosh Chodashim ומפי השמוע למדו איש מאיש ממשה רבנו שכך הוא פירוש הדבר. עדות זו תהיה מסורה לכם ולכל העומד אחריהן במקומן. Both Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibur Shana, as described in the last several prakim, can only be done by the Sanhedrin, that is, the Beit Din HaGadol of 71 Dayanim, and in Eretz Yisrael, or by a smaller Beit Din of Dayanim who received smicha in Eretz Yisrael and who obtained permission from the Beit Din HaGadol. Recall from Hilchot Shofar that smicha here refers to an oral transmission of authority going back to Moshe Rabbeinu, which no longer exists in our time. This is learned from the pasuk of HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim, said by Hashem to Moshe and Aaron, with the intent of Lachem being to you, and to those who later stand in your place, referring to the Beit Din HaGadol. The Rambam elaborates on this point, and on others which will come up later in this perek, in his summary of the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh in the Sefer HaMitzvot. The Ramban, in his commentary there, takes issue with several aspects of the Rambam's understanding of this mitzvah, and his first objection is to this requirement of Beit Din HaGadol specifically. The word lachem in the pasuk, according to the Ramban, is just a reference to dayanim smuchim, like Moshe and Aaron, not necessarily members of the Beit Din HaGadol, or specifically given permission by them to determine the calendar. Rav Soloveitchik, in a long essay, explains why the Rambam insists on Beit Din HaGadol, and the essence of his explanation will be relevant for other points in this perek as well. The mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, for the Rambam, is fundamentally not imposed upon any Beit Din at all, but upon Klal Yisrael as a whole. The Beit Din HaGadol of 71 Dayanim, according to Rav Soloveitchik, fulfills two roles. Aside from being the ultimate arbiter in judicial matters and in Piskei Halacha, as described in the beginning of Parshat Shoftim, it is a body which represents all of Klal Yisrael. The biblical precedent for this concept is the group of 71 chosen by Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshat Balotcha to help him lead the people in time of crisis in the desert. This was not a judicial body at all, but rather a group described as Ziknei Ha'am Vishot Rav, representing all of Bnei Yisrael. When the Beit Din HaGadol performs some action, it is considered as if Bnei Yisrael as a whole did it. And that is why Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibur Shana must be performed either by the Beit Din HaGadol themselves or with their authority, by Dayanim who receive their permission and act as their agents. This understanding of Kiddush HaChodesh as a mitzvah which is fundamentally imposed on all of Klal Yisrael will be a crucial part of another opinion of the Rambam, which we will see shortly. For now, we continue at the end of Halacha Aleph. Aval bizman she'ein sham Sanhedrin be'eretz Yisrael, ein kovin chodashim ve'ein ma'brin shanim, ela becheshbon ze shanu mechashvin bo hayom. V'davar ze halacha l'Moshe misinayhu, shebizman she'ish Sanhedrin kovin al ha'ri'ya, ubizman she'ein sham Sanhedrin kovin al cheshbon ze shanu mechashvin bo hayom, ve'ein izkakin la'ri'ya. אלא פעמים שיהיה יום שקובעים בו בחשבון זה הוא יום הראייה, או קודם לו ביום או אחריו ביום. Since Kiddush HaChodesh requires Beit Din HaGadol or their explicit permission, what can be done when this body does not exist, like nowadays? there is a special halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, an oral tradition of de'oraita stature, that in the absence of a Beit Din HaGadol, we determine the calendar based solely on calculations, the details of which will be elaborated upon in the next five prakim. Under this system of calculation, which we use today, there is no significance per se to the evening on which the moon can first be seen, which plays such an important role in Kiddush HaChodesh by Beit Din. The day on which we mark Rosh Chodesh is sometimes the same day on which the moon is first visible, that is, the moon is visible on the previous evening, and is sometimes one day earlier. It is only on very rare occasions that the moon can be seen on the evening of the day before the day we mark as Rosh Chodesh, that is, on the night of the 29th of the prior month. Note that according to the Rambam, if reliance upon Cheshbon is halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, then it would seem that the rules of the Cheshbon themselves are also halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. And indeed, the Rambam never suggests that these rules have any other source. We'll see shortly that the Ramban disagrees about both the source and the nature of our reliance upon Cheshbon nowadays. Halacha Gimel. ומאימתי התחילו כל ישראל לחשב בחשבון זה, מסוף חכמי תלמוד, בעת שחרבה ארץ ישראל, ולא נשאר שם בית דין קבוע. אבל בימי חכמי משנה, וכן בימי חכמי תלמוד, עד ימי אביי ורבה, על קביעת ארץ ישראל היו סומכים. When did this system of Cheshbon begin to be used? From the end of the era of the Amoraim, at around the time of Abaye and Rava, that is, the middle of the 4th century of the Common Era. By that point, Eretz Yisrael lay in ruins, and even though there were still Jews living there, there was no Beit Din Kavua, by which the Rambam seems to mean a Beit Din which had the permission of the Beit Din HaGadol, which itself had ceased to exist long before. Therefore, as we saw in the last halacha, Kiddush HaChodesh, based on the testimony of Edim, was impossible, and so Halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai dictated a shift to the system of Cheshbon. In his commentary on the Sefer Mitzvot, the Ramban forcefully rejects the Rambam's entire understanding of both the source of Cheshbon and its conceptual role. In his view, there is no halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai about Cheshbon. Indeed, there is no source for this idea anywhere in the writings of Chazal. Rather, there is only one mechanism by which we have a calendar, and that is Kiddush HaChodesh, along with Ibur Shana, performed by Dayanim who have smicha. Recall from our previous discussion that the Ramban doesn't require Beit Din HaGadol specifically. So how do we have a calendar nowadays when there are no Dayanim Smuchim? The Ramban attributes the foundation of the modern calendar to Hillel HaNasi, or Hillel Nisia, the great-grandson of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, who lived at the time which the Rambam identifies as the beginning of the period of Cheshbon in the mid-4th century. Hillel HaNasi saw that Smicha was dying out, and realized that soon there would be no way to do Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibur Shana. So he set up a system of calculation to determine exactly when Rosh Chodesh would be for every month, and exactly which years would be Shanim Me'ubarot, extending millennia into the future. He then, upon his authority as a Dayan with Smicha, performed in advance Kiddush HaChodesh on all the months, and Ibur Shana on all the Shanim Ubarot, which would be generated by his system of Cheshbon for as long as it would be used. So if we ask, why does the month of Av in the year Tavshin Pei Vav have the status of a month in the Hebrew calendar? The answer is different for the Rambam and for the Ramban. The Rambam would say because in the absence of a Beit Din HaGadol, there is a mitzvah rooted in Halacha L'moshe mi-Sinai to rely on Cheshbon. And the Cheshbon tells us exactly when Av Tavshin Pei Vav is. The Ramban would say, because Hillel HaNasi was Mekadesh this month of Av Tavshin Pei Vav 1600 years ago, when he set up the calendar that we continue to use. But in fact, there is one more critical ingredient for the Rambam, which allows us to use a calendar of Cheshbon nowadays. He mentions this only in the last halacha of the perek, but we'll learn it now because it relates to these earlier halachot. Halacha Yud Gimel. Ze she'anu mechashvin bizman haze kol echad ve'echad b'iro, v'omrim she'rosh chodesh yom ploni, v'yom tov b'yom ploni, lo bechashbon shelanu anu kovin, v'lo alav anu somchin, she'ein ma'abrin shanim v'kovin chodashim b'chutz la'aretz, v'ein anu somchin ela al cheshbon b'nei Eretz Yisrael u'kviyatam. וזה שאנו מחשבין לגלות הדבר בלבד, כיוון שאנו יודעים שעל חשבון זה הם סומכים. אנו מחשבין לידע יום שקבעו בו בני ארץ ישראל, איזה יום הוא. ובקביעת בני ארץ ישראל, אותו הוא שיהיה ראש חודש או יום טוב, לא מפני חשבון שאנו מחשבים. Incredibly, even though we now use cheshbon rather than Kiddush HaChodesh by Beit Din, one feature of that earlier system remains true. The calendar can be determined only in Eretz Yisrael. When we in Chutz Laretz, the Rambam writes, referring to himself, calculate using cheshbon when Rosh Chodesh will be and whether a certain year will be a Shana Me'uberet, it is not the cheshbon itself which dictates that this will happen. Rather, it is the practice of Jews in Eretz Yisrael, which allows every Rosh Chodesh and every Shana Me'uberet to have halachic meaning. And we just follow the same cheshbon that we know is being used in Eretz Yisrael. In the Sefer HaMitzvot, the Rambam goes further. Were it to be the case, he writes there, that Chas V'Shalom, at some point in history, there would be no Jews in Eretz Yisrael, then the calendar would cease to exist. And no Jews anywhere in the world could observe any holiday, because without a calendar, there would be no holidays to observe. This is a radical statement, without any explicit source in Chazal. So where did the Rambam get it from? Rav Soloveitchik explains it based on his understanding of the Rambam's entire approach to Kiddush HaChodesh that we discussed earlier. Kiddush HaChodesh is a mitzvah upon the Jewish people as a whole. This is true not only of the ideal Kiddush HaChodesh track, practiced when there exists a Beit Din HaGadol, or Beit Din of Smuchim, who receive permission from them, but also of the Cheshbon track, practiced based on Halach L'Moshe Sinai when there is no Beit Din HaGadol. That is, the Cheshbon is a practical guide, like an instruction manual for how to practice the calendar. But what makes the calendar halachically binding is not the instructions, but the actual practice of the calendar by the Jewish people. And who exactly is considered the Jewish people? The Gemara in Masechet Horayot says in another context that the term Kahal Yisrael refers specifically to the Jews of Eretz Yisrael. This doesn't mean, of course, that Jews in Chutz Laretz are not part of Klal Yisrael. It means, rather, that whenever halacha requires that some act be performed by the Jewish people as a whole, the specific Jews who are relevant for the performance of this act are those who live in Eretz Yisrael. The conclusion is that even nowadays, the practice of the system of cheshbon by the Jews of Eretz Yisrael is what gives the calendar its halachic significance. We return now to where we left off earlier in the perek, where the Rambam begins a discussion of Yom Tov Sheni. Halacha Dalid summarizes what we learned in Perek Gimel. During the time of Kiddush HaChodesh, based on testimony of Edim, all places where the Shluchim of Tishrei arrived before Sukkot would keep one day of Yom Tov, but anyone further away had to keep 2 days of Yom Tov due to the suffix about which day was made Rosh Chodesh. Halacha Hei. Bazman hazeh she'ein sham Sanhedrin, uveit din shel Eretz Yisrael kov'in al cheshbon zeh, haya min hadin shiyu kol mekomot osin Yom Tov echad bilvad. Afilu hamekomot harechokot shebechutz laaretz, kmo b'nei Eretz Yisrael, shakol al cheshbon echad somchim v'kovin. Aval takanat chachamim hi sheizaru b'minhag avoteihem shebideihem. Nowadays, when there is no Beit Din HaGadol, and we all rely on the same system of cheshbon, everyone knows exactly when Rosh Chodesh is, and so this practice of 2 days of Yom Tov in faraway places should have ended. But Chazal established a takana that these places should preserve their ancestral custom of keeping 2 days of Yom Tov. So even nowadays, all the places which the Shluchei Tishrei didn't get to in time for Sukkot continue to keep 2 days of Yom Tov. The Haggot Maimoniot records the practice of certain especially pious individuals who would keep 2 days of Yom Kippur and fast for over 48 hours. This indeed had to be done at the time of Kiddush HaChodesh in Beit Din, when there was an actual doubt as to the correct date of Yom Kippur, but was not kept by most people as part of the minhag to observe 2 days of Yom Tov even when the calendar is determined based on cheshbon. The Rama rules that one should not keep 2 days of Yom Kippur nowadays, due to a concern that fasting for so long can endanger one's life. In Eretz Yisrael, where the practice was always to keep only 1 day of Yom Tov, this practice continued during the period of Cheshbon, and continues even now. But Halacha Zayin brings an exception to this rule. Yom Tov Shel Rosh Hashanah, Bizman shayu kovin al hariya, hayu rov bnei Eretz Yisrael osinoto shneyamim misafek. Levi shalo hayu yodim yom shekavu bo beitin et achodesh, shein hashluchim yotzim biyom tov. Velo od, ela afilu biyushalayim atzma, shimekom beitin pamim rabot hayu osin yom tov shel rosh hashana shneyamim, shim lo ba'u edim kol yom shloshim, nogim hayu ba'oto hayom shmetzapin la'edim kodesh ulmachar kodesh, vehoil vahayu osin oto shneyamim, vafilu bizman hariya, hitkinu shihu osim afilu bnei Eretz Yisrael oto tamid shneyamim bazman hazeh shekovin al hachashbon. Hinei lamadeta shafilu yom tov shnishal rosh hashana bazman hazeh midivrei sofrim. Rosh Hashanah was different from other Yomim Tovim, because Rosh Hashanah coincides with Rosh Chodesh. Even during the time of Kiddush HaChodesh by Beit Din, most of the Jews in Eretz Yisrael would have to keep 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, due to Safek, as there would be no Shluchim to inform them of the day of Rosh Chodesh until after the holiday. Recall that the Shluchim are not permitted to violate Shabbat or Yom Tov on their journey. Furthermore, even in Yerushalayim itself, where the Beit Din was located, Rosh Hashanah was often kept as a 2-day holiday. Starting on the evening of day 30 of Elul, people would observe the day as if it were Yom Tov, on the chance that Edim would come in the morning, and the day would become Aleph Tishrei, that is, Rosh Hashanah. If this indeed happened, then the Jews of Yerushalayim would keep that one day as Rosh Hashanah and no more. But what if no Edim arrived that day? Then the entire day 30 was kept as Yom Tov, unnecessarily in retrospect. And day 31, the real day of Rosh Hashanah, because there was no Kiddush HaChodesh the previous day, was kept as Yom Tov as well. Even after the Takana, which we learned about in Perek Gimel, that testimony of Edim would only be accepted before the offering of the Tamid Shalvein Harbayim, we saw that if Edim came later, Hayu Nohagim Oto Hayom Kodesh Ulmachar Kodesh, the remainder of the first day was observed as Yom Tov along with the second day. Because Rosh Hashanah, historically, was observed as a 2-day holiday in Eretz Yisrael, and sometimes even in Yerushalayim itself, Chazal established as part of the Takana of Yom Tov Sheni that Rosh Hashanah be observed for 2 days everywhere, even in Eretz Yisrael. This psak of the Rambam follows that of the Rif, and is accepted lahalacha. But there were Rishonim who believed that in Eretz Yisrael, Rosh Hashanah should be observed as a 1-day holiday, just like every other Yom Tov. This was the opinion of Rabbeinu Ephraim, a student of the Rif, who disagreed with his Rebbe on this point, as recorded later by the Baal HaMa'or, who accepted this opinion. The Baal HaMa'or even claimed that the custom in Eretz Yisrael for several centuries was to keep only 1 day of Rosh Hashanah, and only changed after the period of the Gaonim, in order to follow the Psak of the Rif. Halacha Tet. Ein asiyat yom echad tluya b'krivat ha-makom. Ketzad. Im yeh makom beino uvein Yerushalayim, malach chamisha yamim o pachot, shebevadai efshar sheyagiu lehem shluchim, ein omrin shanshei makom ze osim yom tov echad, shemi yomar lanu shehayu shluchim yotzim lakom ze, shema lo hayu shluchim yotzim lakom ze, mipnei shelo hayu sham Yisrael, v'achar shechazru likboa al ha-cheshbon, yashvu sham Yisraelim, shehin chayvin lasot shnei yamim. O mipnei shaya chibun baderech, kederech shaya ben Yehuda v'Galil b'mei chachmei Mishnah, o mipnei shayu hagoyim mon'in et hashluchim lavor b'nehen. The Rambam here makes an important point about which places keep 2 days of Yom Tov and which keep only one. The important factor is not how far a certain place is located from Yerushalayim, but rather whether or not the shluchim would get there in practice. Just because a certain place is only 5 days' travel from Yerushalayim, they do not automatically have the right to keep only 1 day of Yom Tov. It is entirely possible that the shluchim didn't go to that place, either because no Jews lived there at the time, or because of roadblocks set up by local non-Jews, including the Kutim we discussed in Perek Gimel, to hinder the progress of the shluchim. After all, Halacha Yud points out, Egypt is no more than 8 days' travel from Yerushalayim, as is most of Syria, and yet the custom in Egypt nowadays is to keep 2 days of Yom Tov. Halacha Yud Aleph. Nimtza ikar davar ze al derech zo kachu. Kol makom sheyesh beino uvein Yerushalayim malach yater al asara yamim gmurin, osin shnei yamim leolam kiminhagam mikodem. She'ein shluchei kol tishrei v'tishrei magi'in ela l'makom shebeino uvein Yerushalayim malach asara yamim o pachot. V'chol makom shebeino uvein Yerushalayim malach asara yamim b'shaveh o pachot, she'efshar shayu shluchin magi'in elav, ro'im. Imo toar makom me'eretz Yisrael shahiyu ba Yisrael bishat hariyah b'kibush sheni kegon Usha u'Shvaram ve'Lod ve'Yavne ve'Nov u'Tveria b'chayutzei behem osim yom echad bilvad. V'imo toar makom mi'Suria kegon Tzor ve'Damesek ve'Ashkelon v'chayutzei behem o mi'chutz la'aretz kegon Mitzrayim ve'Amon u'Moav v'chayutzei behem osim k'minhag avotehem shebidehem. Im yom echad, yom echad. V'im shnei yamim, shnei yamim. The rules, therefore, are as follows. Anywhere more than a 10-day journey from Yerushalayim must certainly keep 2 days of Yom Tov, because the Shluchim sometimes traveled for only 10 days of Tishrei before Sukkot. There are 14 days of Tishrei before Sukkot, from which we must deduct up to 4 days on which they didn't travel. 1 day of Rosh Hashanah, 1 day of Yom Kippur, and one or possibly two Shabbatot. For any city within 10 days travel time from Yerushalayim, there are two cases. If the city is within Eretz Yisrael and is known to have had a Jewish community during the time of Bayecheni, then it observes only 1 day. If the city is in Syria or in Chutz Laretz, then it depends on the minhag in that location. The shluchim would go to some of these cities, and therefore the minhag in those places, even today, is to keep 1 day. And there were other cities that the shluchim would not get to, so the minhag there is to keep 2 days. What if a city does not have any minhag dating back to the time of Kiddush HaChodesh by Beit Din? Or if the city is new, or at least the Jewish community there is new? In this case, Halacha Yod Bet concludes, the city must keep 2 days of Yom Tov like most of the world. The Rambam doesn't clarify here what should be done in a city about which there is a suffix if the shluchim would arrive there or not before the holiday. It would seem that we should apply the principle of suffix derabanan lekula to allow such a place to observe only 1 day. But the Rambam in a tshuva writes the opposite. In any city where we are not absolutely positive that the shluchim did arrive, they must follow the custom of most of the world to keep 2 days of Yom Tov. It emerges from the principles laid down by the Rambam that it is possible for a city in Eretz Yisrael to observe 2 days of Yom Tov nowadays, if it is a location which didn't have a Jewish community at the time of Kiddush HaChodesh by Beit Din. Conversely, it is possible for a city in Chutz Laretz to observe only 1 day, if it is within 10 days travel from Yerushalayim, and has the minhag to observe 1 day. Other Rishonim disagree. The Ritva believes that the takana to keep Yom Tov Sheni nowadays applies across the board in Chutz Laretz, and doesn't apply at all in Eretz Yisrael, with no relation to what was done in each specific place during the time of Kiddush HaChodesh by Beit Din. Poskim are in general agreement that we follow the opinion of the Ritva in practice. Even according to this opinion, there arises the question of how exactly one defines Eretz Yisrael for Yom Tov Sheni purposes. There are two different sets of borders of Eretz Yisrael, which are relevant in Halacha. The more restrictive Gvulot Ole Bavel, and the more expansive Gvulot Ole Mitzrayim. We'll save the details of the differences between them for later in the Mishnah Torah. But there are parts of modern-day Israel, notably the city of Eilat, which most likely are not included even in Gvulot Ole Mitzrayim. Therefore, many posts can conclude that even for the Ritva, and certainly for the Rambam, one must keep 2 days of Yom Tov in Eilat. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach writes in a tshuva that the determining factor is not either set of borders, Ole Bavel or Ole Mitzrayim, but rather whether the city is now under Jewish sovereignty, contiguous with the rest of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, he concludes, even in Eilat, only 1 day of Yom Tov is observed. But some report that Rav Shlomo Zalman later retracted this heter and felt that based on the questionable status of Eilat, one should be machmir on the second day in both directions, not to do any malacha in case it should be observed as a Yom Tov Sheni, and to put on tefillin while davening in case it is a regular weekday.
Thank you for joining me in learning today's parak of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.